Good morning, everybody. It is great to be together. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, we're going to conclude our series on the mission. And I'm really excited about having this opportunity, first of all, to partner with God and the brothers and sisters for this amazing mission for humanity that God has for us. It's an honor today to be able to do this. It's an honor to be able to close out our series. It's been a fantastic series. Amen. And we do want to encourage our sister Lynn Ottenwaller for allowing God to use her to put this series on our hearts. Let's give God and her a round of applause for that. Amen. All the brothers did an amazing job of just expounding on God's mission. And I really appreciate Jeff because he said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, what's the first thing that we're going to talk about in the mission? And everyone said Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then we learned that God had a huge, much bigger plan than that. I am Kendall Wilson Knight Jr. I say that I'm one of the evangelists here, tent maker evangelist, because there's a Kendall Albert here as well. And so that's why I say Kendall Wilson Knight Jr. so you can distinguish both of us, the differences between us. Last night we were at a community leaders meeting and we said, hey, listen, why don't you call Kendall coach and just say coach, Kendall, me, coach, I'm a football coach, coach. And they said, nope, that's not going to work because Kendall Albert is a wrestling coach, okay? So we got to figure out. So he's KA, I'm KK. So it's all good, and we're excited to have them here. So continue to welcome them here to the fellowship. Let's go to God in a word of prayer, and then we're going to dig in. Dear God, we thank you. We love you. We applaud you for allowing us to partner with you with the mission you have for our lives and all of humanity. We're incredibly grateful, Father, for how you've saved us and taken us out of this dark world and brought us into your wonderful light. God, thank you that you've rescued us. Father, we know that it's been a challenging time for some. We continue to pray for the Rao family, God. We continue to pray for the Stamper family. We continue to pray for the Encarnacions. We're really grateful for them, Father, and all they mean to you and mean to us. God, thank you for the prayers from my mom, Carol Knight, as she continues to recover. We're grateful, God, that she's making progress. We continue that happens, God, in a powerful way. Meanwhile, God, we ask that your Holy Spirit leads this message in a way that will resonate, in a way that will impact us, not only today, but for the rest of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and review the message, okay? We're going to take a look at a few things that were shared with us previously. Of course, Jeff started us out. He did a great job helping us with God's heart for humanity. And of course, anytime you do a closeout of a series, you got to go back and listen to all the messages, which I did. And it was inspiring to listen to it times two, which was great. But Jeff talked about God using us as image bearers. And he referred to Genesis chapter 1, 27 through 28, and he talked about the great things that God had planned for us. And he talks about how God is a covenant-making God and a covenant-keeping God. And that in spite of all that we do, he has a vision for us. And the thing that I learned through this series is it was clear. I mean, I knew this before, but seeing what God has done through Genesis chapter 1 all the way through Revelation and the fact that he never gives up on us. And even with Cain and Abel, prior to this incident, this murder of Abel, God was still like, hold on a second, don't do that. He's still trying to negotiate and talk and encourage and inspire Cain in a really bad state to don't do that. And when we get in a bad state, God, even if we lose our first love, God is with us. And then Jordan did a message on eyes that see. It was really encouraging. He really helped us understand, you know, how do we see God people? Do we see what God sees in people? Do we see them with compassion? Do we see their spiritual need? Do we see their potential in Christ? And then he talked about Matthew chapter 9, you know, how we are harassed and helpless and sheep without a shepherd. And how important it is to see things in a spiritual way versus a physical way. And I know for me, one of the greatest challenges that I have, because the root of who I am, this atheistic background, it's so easy for me to get self-reliant and humanistic and see things and try to solve things in a humanistic way instead of a spiritual way. And then Ben Barnett came, and he did this amazing, amazing expository on this timeline of Jesus' process for making disciples and sending disciples. And he shared his own life. And he said, that dude, and he showed his picture of him saluting the flag and being in the Cullen Pyle exchange. And when he graduated from West Point, it was super inspiring. And he talked about that dude. Before he got to West Point, he came out a different dude. That God used the process. And he talked about how Jesus' disciples were with him for 1,280 days before he sent them out. And he talked about the great calling, and Ben did a great job of shoving us and really helping us, man, to really see this whole process, this great curriculum, the Sermon on the Mount, and the greatest commandment of loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And then the great compassion, and he landed in Matthew 25, and he shared the things he did in his life to repent and make changes. And he challenged us and said, wait a minute, if we're asking people to follow us or follow Jesus, what are they following? And so I remembered that distinctly, and he repented, and he made some changes and made some differences in his life, and he shoved us. And then Jordan did this lesson on the heart of faith, and he talked about the remote. He got into the goat. But then he talked about the remote. And I love the remote, okay? The greatest rescue mission of all time. I mean, it's so nostalgic. Put that on ESPN, I mean, it's just awesome stuff, right? But he said, we're the product of God's dream. He has an epic dream for us. He's this huge and big God. And even though he shot 25 over par with his family playing miniature golf, he was hoping that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson would have him on their Ryder Cup team, amen? But he talked about amplify the ability of the Almighty. And then he shared these epic conversion stories, one of which is the Broyles, our dear sister, Sister Broyles became a disciple in her 80s. And how God did that epic conversion. He shared more conversion stories as a result. And then we sent our brother Juan off to be with the Revive team in Eastern Europe to go ahead and continue God's mission in a powerful way with a heart of faith, the heart of humanity, and seeing what God sees. And then, of course, this wasn't a part of the series, but Heroes Day was amazing last week to see all the heroes. And Nick did an amazing job on God's strength and how we use God for his strength. We need him. My favorite passage, Psalm 18, how he stoops down and makes us great. Then he went on to share the amazing impact of Jesus the hero and how amazing Jesus is our hero. And he talked about just everything that we do in life, including, you know, the calendar is impacted by Jesus. Amazing. Let's give those brothers a round of applause for the great work that they did. Amen. As we close out our series, I want to talk about the voices that speak. And my first point is, speak to heal. Look in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the priests and the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so that the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign. And we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to stop or to him. You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. What an amazing passage of scripture here. God's heart for humanity, what I've concluded from this series is that God's ultimate heart for humanity is to heal us. That's God's heart for humanity. When you look at this passage in Acts 4, I highlighted a few things, and the reason I highlighted them as I was reading them, they were before the Jewish ruling council, the same council that convicted Jesus. And you look at Peter and John, and they had spent all that time with them, and we know the story of Peter, and we know the story of John, and how challenging they were during their times with Jesus. But it's interesting to see their conversion process. And they said to the Sanhedrin, this man stands before you in the name of Jesus, and he's healed as a result. You know why he's healed? You can be healed, Sanhedrin, because of Jesus. They did not lean on a political stance here. It wasn't about, hey, this group can heal you, that group can heal you. It was Jesus can heal you. One of the things that I became a Christian as a single, I was healed as a single. And I have great love for the singles ministry. And Diane and I, we work with the Thrive ministry. You know, I was just one of those guys. I was lame, man, in a lot of sin, just terrible, terrible things, embarrassing some of the things I did with my life. But it's always been on my heart to help the singles. And throughout the pandemic, it's been very difficult for singles. It's been very hard, but we have an amazing core leadership group of singles people here, you know, with, you know, our sister Sarah Gifford's gonna come up here and share in a few minutes, Katie Tangway, Zechariah Zanders, the brother with the deep microphone voice, you know, Bryce, Alex Fry is a part of that group, JJ, Sabrina, did I forget anybody else, Jacqueline, all, Ryan Brown, all have been a part of the core leadership group to make the singles ministry amazing and to bring healing to that community. So I've asked my dear sister Sarah Gifford to come up and share, and then after she shares, we're going to share a special video with you. Come on up, Sarah.
So good morning. I'm Sarah Gifford. I help, I serve on the Thrive Core Leadership Team. I am also a co-leader. I serve as a family group leader in East Cobb Sandy Springs, and I am honored to be here. I was asked to share my conversion story. For me, my story began at 10 years old. I'm actually a Kingdom kid, a little different than average. I grew up with disciple parents, with faithful siblings, and I was incredibly insecure with who I was growing up. I didn't really love myself. And early on, I had a lot of issues with friendships. People were not kind to me, to be frank. And so I had a group of friends at school, and one day my friends told me, you know, Sarah, we don't want to be your friend anymore. Very early on, as a 10-year-old, you don't know how to process such emotions. And so I was alone, I was isolated, and I was in a lot of pain. And I didn't know who to talk to. I had no one to talk to. I mostly internalized it. But I went to preteen camp that year. And Carol McGurk was a hero for me. She inspired me. I didn't have to be a woman to give in to all my negative thoughts, all of my emotions. I didn't have to live a life of depression and feel that I couldn't measure up. But I could be a woman to love. I could have God as my friend. I could have God as the one who gave me strength. And I made that decision not only to repent from my own anger that I had towards my siblings at the time, but to also study the Bible at 12 years old. And I never turned back. I was prideful. I thought I knew everything. But you know, God humbled me, as he always does. And I remember one of the women asked me, you know, Sarah, are you trying to be perfect? And I was like, yeah. You know, I am trying to be perfect. I think I have it all. And God was trying to tell me, Sarah, it's okay. I want you as you are. I see who you can be. He saw a little girl on a playground crying all alone who just needed a friend. And he saw who she could be. You know, and today, I can't even begin to say how it's amazing the places God has brought me. I never thought I could co-lead a family group. I could serve the singles ministry. I never thought that I could be in Nepal and Cambodia and South Africa and volunteer trips. I'm a nurse. I get to serve in a way that I never imagined or thought. But I recognize this is all because of the grace of God. It's all because people poured into me and spoke to me when I just needed friends. And God used people so powerfully in my life. So thank you for letting me share.
Okay, we're going to share a special video with you.
David Hedrick and I lead the church here in Chattanooga. We are so excited to host the first annual Revive, Refresh, Reconnect single retreat here in beautiful Scenic City. We've been praying about this for years, to gather all the singles together in one place to give us a new vision for our lives. And I'm going to have JJ Jones, who helps lead the single ministry, come out and give us more details on the retreat.
Like David said, we are so excited to see you all here in the South, where we just know that God is going to revive our relationship with Him. He's going to refresh our mission, and He is going to reconnect us all together. Here in Chattanooga, there'll be so many things for you to do outside of our already planned activities. Things like kayaking, canoeing, hiking, visiting wondrous landmarks like Ruby Falls, Lookout Mountain, and even the Tennessee Aquarium. And if you're a foodie, you are going to love the premium dining here in Chattanooga. The retreat will be held from October 28th through the 30th, and registration will be only $10. Registration opens up on August 22nd, and again, it is only $10. If you want more details about registration, you can visit myc3.org or our church Facebook page at C3 Church Chattanooga or the North River Church of Christ website. We love you guys and we can't wait to see you here in chat.
So that's what it's all about. It's all about us bringing healing. And I'm grateful for this church because on numerous occasions, my family and I have looked to additional counseling for healing. We've looked to the Ivies to get healed on some personal family matters. And we've looked to Steve Brand to get healed on some personal issues with myself. So we all need healing. We're all part of this humanity and God wants to heal us. The next point is we need to speak up for justice. Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Brothers and sisters, we need to speak for justice. We need to speak. The thing I love about Peter and John is that they were not afraid. They were not peacemakers, peacekeepers. They were peacemakers. And they got in there and they ruffled it up with the Sanhedrin. They ruffled it up with the people of that time because they wanted to bring justice to this lame man. And I think it's a slippery slope when we talk about justice. The definition for me for justice is simple. Make right. Make right. Make right. I'm not talking about social justice. I'm not talking about CNN or CNBC or Fox News. I'm talking about making people's lives right for the risen Christ. Amen, church? Amen. That's what we're here to do. Too often, we align it with some political issue. When you look at these guys, Peter and John, it wasn't about politics. It was about the Christ. It was about Jesus. It was about him, his heart, what he can do for humanity. It wasn't about, oh, I'm Republican. Oh, I'm independent. Oh, I'm Democratic. Oh, this. No, it was about making this lame man's life right after 40 years. We need to speak into human trafficking. We need to speak into that. We need to speak for the marginalized. We need to speak for people who cannot speak for themselves and judge fairly. For me, I align myself in the work that I do. It can be lonely sometimes, but I've been marginalized. So the work that I do aligns with the marginalization of issues. That's the work that I do. And I think it's very, very important, brothers and sisters, part of this mission for Christ is for us to speak for justice. Make things right. Plant the seeds of making things right. And my final point is speak for Jesus. And I want to show you another video that can help us speak for Jesus.
Thank you.
It's important for us to speak. Amen. Great video. You know, it's important for us to speak for Jesus. When you think about it, when the young man reached out to him, you know, I'm glad I'm reached out to him. My story is like that. I ended up with the awesome, amazing Diane Knight, you know, who was Diane Denise Staines at the time. When I saw her the first time, I was like, wow, yeah, she's, yeah, amen. Just like that guy. Yeah. She's got it going on, you know, they're like, joke is fine right there now, okay? But at the end of the day, I think it's important to see the value that we bring to people's lives and how our ability to speak courageously, you know, without any interruption other than Jesus, can change the destiny of somebody's life. And what's amazing, Diane got with her sister the other day for lunch, and she was sharing about how one person changed the destiny of this entire family. And we think about it, when we don't share our faith and we don't have that impact and we're not bold and we're not courageous, where would someone's life go if it wasn't for us being able to touch them? You know, the lame man, when you look in Acts chapter 3, he was jumping up and down. You know, he was jumping up and down. He was so excited. He couldn't believe it. You know, he was marginalized. People had walked by him for years and years and years. Can you imagine 40 years of your life not being able to walk and being called lame? And then finally his life has changed forever. And that's what someone did for us. And I remember last week in Jordan's message, when he preached, he had people stand up. The amount of folks that, you know, that were reached out to randomly. And you know what? I want to have a repeat performance of that so we can get a visual of that. If you are reached out randomly, just like the guy who spilled the oranges, why don't you stand on up and look around the room? Stand on up if you were reached out randomly and no one knew you. Look at that. Look. Amen. Look at the amazing people that we have that were reached out randomly. We have amazing servants. We have audiovisual people. We have the amazing maestro and his family, you know. We've got evangelists. We've got elders. Look at what God's done with his church because somebody opened their mouth. Somebody said something to impact their lives. We plant water, God makes it grow. Brothers and sisters, after this, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. We're going to take communion in a minute. We're going to have 3 minutes of silence and reflection. Just think about how impactful you've been because of Jesus. And think about how impacted you've been because of Jesus. And we're going to see Eliana. Someone spoke to her. Eliana Herbert will be getting baptized in a few minutes. Amen. Because somebody spoke to her. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's what they said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We are image bearers of God from Genesis chapter 1. And all the way through Revelation, God has had a plan for our lives for all of eternity. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Amen. Dear God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in our lives. Again, God, we applaud you. We thank you for the plan that you have for humanity. We thank you, God, that you see us through spiritual eyes. We thank you, God, for the hands that serve, that Jesus has served us and we can serve the world. God, we thank you for the remote, the greatest rescue mission of all time. And we're grateful for Jesus, our hero, who stands in the gap for us with his amazing blood and his broken body. Father, rescuing us out of this dark world so we can have a relationship with you. As we take the bread and we take the fruit of the vine, God, help us to always remember what you've done for us. And I pray, God, that we will be healers and we'll speak up for justice and we'll continually speak for you. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.